We're just delighted. Larry and Jean, God has been expanding their ministry from China to northern Canada and into Windsor, Ontario, and into Africa. And the only place I think they haven't been is Antarctica. We're thinking about sending them there. But what great friends, and what great friends of Christian Outreach Center. And they've been coming since we began the church here. All of us began the church here. And so as they come, just give them a hand of welcome and bless them. I know they have some videos to show and some words to say. So God bless you, Larry and Jean. What a privilege to have you here today.
God bless you, Pastor. Glory to God. Glory to God. It is a privilege to be here. And just want to thank you for all your support down through the years. You know, we can't go if we aren't sent. And so we appreciate your prayers and your finances. And because of that, we're able to do what God has called us to do. But we're all a body. We're all working together for the glory of God. And it's just exciting what God is doing throughout the nations. And but before we start, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy over our lives. We thank you for your grace and mercy over this place. We thank you for Pastor Dwight and his wife Judy and all you saints. And we just pray a blessing over you. And may all the fullness of God come upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was just sensing in my spirit that there's somebody here that has nightmares. And I believe that God is here to set you free today. And if that's you, I just want you to be brave. Come forth. And God is a God of deliverance. And he wants to set you free. He cares about you. He loves you. And so God's got enough guts to say, I want to take care of you. You have enough guts to come up here and say, I want to be taken care of. So if that's you, just come. Seriously. I believe God wants to deliver you and set you free today. Don't be bashful. I know somebody's here. Don't come up to me after service and say that was me. I've had that happen a good many times too. But there's also somebody here that is not can't sleep at night. So if that's you, also come, because I believe that God wants to give you a good night's rest. Oh, okay. Okay. Mm. Okay.
Lady in the white sweater.
Yep. Nightmares or just not able to sleep? Okay. Okay.
Mine is can't sleep.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you love her so much. That you're just willing to say, there's somebody here that I care about. Somebody here that isn't sleeping. And in the name of Jesus, I speak peace, rest, in Jesus' name. Just the peace that passes all understanding, just flood her soul. In Jesus' name. And I just want to tell you, when you're not able to sleep, just count the blessings. Name them one by one. And you'll be able to sleep. Just count your blessings. Glory to God.
I receive that.
Jesus' name. Same goes for you.
I receive it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Philippians 4:7.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's somebody here that has an anger issue. I mean, we all have things that we're upset about and... But you know, I've really sensed in my heart that you want to be delivered, that you don't like being angry. And so if that's you, just God already knows, and probably the people know anyway, so just come forth, because God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. Or just raise your hand. Raise your hand. That's good enough. You don't need to come up here. Just raise your hand. God will set you free. Thank you, sir. I'm just going to have a prayer for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this gentleman that said, I have an anger issue. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you touch him right now. That you take all that anger, all that frustrations, all them things that cause it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you that from this day forth that you're just that the spirit of control is going to just take over, and he's going to rule and reign in your life, and it's going to be under control from this day forth. So just anytime that issue comes upon you, just say, I'm in charge now. I'm not going to go that direction. So thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Isn't God awesome?
Amen.
And, you know, Jesus had a lot of names. And I was just kind of, the Lord just showed me the Dwight Fehring. He is Fehring. He's had a lot of stuff come at him. But, you know, no matter what it is, even though he's having a little trouble walking right now, but, you know, he's faring through it all.
Amen.
And he has a heart like Flynn. He's hot after God.
Amen.
And he's hot after souls. And last night we were able to go to that funeral service with him, but I felt his heart. I mean, he was just pleading for souls last night. And for that they would just have hope. I felt it. I just felt that power. I felt that drawing. And you're blessed to have the pastor you have. So let him pastor you. Amen. So glory to God. And you know, we all have a ministry. And if you want to look in 2 Corinthians, and it's in chapter 5. And it starts in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? That we're, old things have passed away. All things have become new. But all things are of God. But we all have a ministry. We all want to share our lives, what God has done in our lives, so that other people can be set free and know the love of God. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope that we have, that hope inside of us, that we can give other people hope by just sharing the goodness of God and how great he's been in our lives. I'm just so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I am just so thankful that God loves me and cares for me. When I was farming, I had this 1466. It was a tractor with duals on it, had a disc behind it, and I had the tractor all revved up and had it in gear and was just ready to take off, and the Lord said, stop. The Holy Spirit said, stop. So I stopped. I looked down, and there was my son right below the duals. So I believe that God wants to help each and every one of us through life.
Amen.
He wants to bless us. He just wants us to hear his voice. He just wants us to be sensitive to what's going on.
Yes.
And if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you.
Yes,
God's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care. He just wants to treat everybody the same, but he just wants us to be in tune. He wants us to have that fire, that fire. You know what fire does? It cleanses, and it puts energy. I mean, look at the sun, the natural sun, how much energy that has. God just wants us to fill us with his energy and with his cleansing. He just wants us to be completely clean. just so he can be glorified through us.
Amen.
That's all he wants. Just before we begin ministry, I used to, the sun would shine in the window, and I'd be praying, and I'd go to my knees and go to the floor, and God would nail me right to the floor. Wouldn't let me up. When I got it prayed through, sometimes it was an hour, sometimes it was two. But my prayer was that, God, kill me dead. Kill me dead so I can be used for your glory. But you know, that's a process. It only took him 30 years to get the job done. So we all have our issues, is what I'm trying to say. We all have our issues that God just needs to, he needs to deal with us. And but if we'll just lay before him and just have that desire to have that fire, that cleansing fire, so that we can be used for his glory. But God wants to use each and every one of us to witness for him, to bring other people into the kingdom. So that's what it's really all about. It's a kingdom ministry, but we all have it. And glory to God. So, hallelujah. Gene, did you have something you wanted to say? Well, I
something to say, you know. But,
glory.
I just want to especially publicly thank Pastor Dwight again, because actually we stand here a lot because of you. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but it was the year was 1996. And we had come up to the, you know, up at Kaufman's, they have a pastor's thing, you know, spring and fall. And Larry and I we went. Pastor Dave called us and he said, come, I want you to come. And honestly, we nearly crawled there. That's how we felt. And I'm sure we looked like we had been run over by a train. I mean, terrible. And, you know, almost 20 years ago. And we had something happen in Albania that just threatened to knock us out completely. And so we just came and we were longing for the Holy Spirit to touch us. And we were just saying, God, we just need you so much. And God worked through Pastor Dwight. He came to us, and I'm sure we looked like a couple of bedraggled rats, you know. And he said, I don't know what's happened, but God told me to tell you, and he said it public in front of everyone, you will be vindicated.
Mm-hmm.
You will be vindicated. And so, again, we just can't encourage each one of us, each one of you to just listen to the Holy Spirit. You might see some rats like us, you know, and they need a word. Hallelujah. They need a word to continue. And it was about a year later that we received apologies mm-hmm. and were completely vindicated. We were accused of stealing money from a ministry. Unbelievable. It was a rumor that got started, and it just almost killed us. We just couldn't believe it. But we stood on the word of the Lord that we would be vindicated, and we stand here today, and God is able to vindicate you if you truly
mm-hmm.
are
you bet.
Clean in an area that you're accused of. Mm-hmm. So just listen to the Holy Spirit and be willing to speak a word in season because it will set the captive free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I'd just like to share a story with you. When we first began our ministry, we went into our pastor. That's what pastors are for. We're supposed to go to them once in a while. And we said that, you know, we'd made some short-term mission trips into Central America, and we'd go down there, and we didn't want to come home, and we got home, and we wanted to go back. And so we just went in, told him that we felt like it was time to, that we went on the mission field. And, well, he agreed. I mean, you know, he said he was very happy to get rid of us. So he sent us out to but he reached down his drawer and he picked out a flyer, and it was from Victory Mission Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He said, I believe this is for you. He just got it 2 weeks ago, but he said it's for you. So we went down there and didn't have any time to do paperwork or anything, but he said, I just believe you're supposed to come. He said, we'll take care of all this paperwork after you get here. So we went down there and got trained to go on the mission field. So, but we thank God for that training that we had. But anyway, it was Pastor Billy Joe Doherty, who's passed away now. And But he had a son. His name was Paul. And Paul was just a little bitty tot. And he, you know, liked to follow his dad around and liked to be in the church there and in the surroundings there. They had custodians and they had security. It's a pretty big operation down there. And little Paul, he'd go to his dad and say, "Dad, when can I have these keys? I'd like this custodian has all these keys. And Dad, I'd sure like to have keys so I could just run all over the place and get into all these things here, you know." So Paul would get a few years older and he'd go to his dad and say, "Dad, I'm a little bigger now. I think I should have these keys so I can just go all over the place and, you know, just be able to be free here." And Dad says, "Well, don't think you're quite ready for all these keys yet." But so he got a little older, finally got up there this high and said, "Dad, I sure want all these keys. Can you give me these keys?" And Dad says, Nope. "Can't give you all these keys, but I'm going to give you one key. And I'm going to give you an office. And probably the size of your bathroom." So Paul Jr. had his office in this little room. And he says, "You just go in there and pray and seek God and get direction. What he wants you to do." And he was probably about 17, 18 at the time. And so he went in there. And every day he'd just go in there and pray and seek God. And then he'd go out to his dad and say, "Dad, I want some more keys." He said, I believe I'm beyond this little room that you give me. I want some more keys." And so Dad'd say, Nope, son. That key's all you need." And Pastor Billy Joe passed away. He was 57 years old. And he had this key. And one day he was just really sad. He was really missing his dad, and he wanted to get in the sanctuary, and he just wanted to sit down at that big baby grand piano and just kind of make a melody and just kind of soothe his heart. But there he was, sat out there. So he just went out there and sat down, but he couldn't get in. So he had this thought. He said, "I'm going to try my credit card." So he went over there and started jamming his credit card in the big double doors there, and didn't work. So he went over and sat down, and he started pouting again, and just, "Oh God, I just need to get in here." All of a sudden, the light bulb went on. "I'm going to try this key I got." So he went over there, tried that key, and the doors came open. He went over to the other doors, tried. That key fit every single door. I mean, you know, isn't that how it is, that in life we have all that we need in Christ Jesus, and we don't even know it. We don't even realize it. But we have all the fullness of God inside of us to do what God has called us to do. Isn't God awesome? We have the keys. Amen. Glory. Anything God wants you to do, you have all the fullness that you need to do it. And you just need to rest and trust in Him. Isn't God awesome? As all the keys. Just all the keys wrapped up in one. Glory to God. All the fullness of God is inside of you. You just need to realize it. Just need to believe it. Just need to move upon it. That's what faith is. Trust in God. Moving on what He's called you to do. Glory to God. Well, with that, we'll take you into our ministry.
Hallelujah.
We will go throughout the whole world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people, training disciples to do the work of the ministry, so they will go. That just about threw me off, that little thing that came up there.
This isn't going to work. Okay. I'll do it the more difficult.
But we've been going ever since. You know, dare to dream. God can use you. Like I said before, we all have a ministry, and God just wants to use you. He wants you to just be clean on His behalf. And if God asks you to do something, or He's given you a vision or whatever, keep that dream alive. When I was 30 years old, I was behind the barn, and I was not walking with God. I was wanting to be a rich farmer, but I God had been dealing with my life, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Larry, you're straddling the fence. Either get on one side or get on the other. I'll rip you right up the middle. I knew what a barbed wire fence was, and I decided I was going to get on his side. I fell to my knees and said, God, take me. I just want to be used by you. I just want to serve you. 30 years old, was delivered from smoking, drinking, and swearing, and got set free from wanting to be a rich millionaire farmer. But every year I'd say, God, is it time? Is it time? Is it time? Well, when you get to be close to 50, I think you'll be ready. So God just had a lot of cleaning up to do, but so we had to work at it. But God's faithful. Keep that dream alive if God spoke to your heart.
Amen. Well, we've been in China since 1996. That was after Albania. We were there from 93 to 96. And we just are so thrilled because the people that we first led to the Lord are still part of our church in Beijing and part of our whole team. And so every year we still reach thousands of kids with our health care, how to wash your hands, how to sneeze into your arm, and also, I'll show you this next picture. This one is about spitting. This guy is spitting, and so his spit is going back on this other guy's umbrella. And the government is trying to tell people, don't spit everywhere, you know, because there's germs in your spit. So they ask us also to teach kids. And we also have another program that we started about 3 years ago. Again, some of the government leaders talked to us about it, and that was just about being kind to people. Say please, say thank you, open a door, or, you know, just be a good person.
They also have a bigger problem than just spitting. They have these little babies that have a slit in their pants and no diapers. So wherever they have to go, they just go. I mean, sometimes it might be on your doorstep or whatever, but anyway, we kind of mentioned that a little bit too, but...
But the really good thing about Chinese babies, this is kind of off the beaten trail. They pretty much are trained by the time they're 1 year old. So it's not as long a problem as
right.
We usually have. Let's
it's
it
just a
way.
Continuous problem.
Well, we're so, as long as there will be babies. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
We're also so blessed to be using art to reach people, especially the middle class now. As you know, China is growing and changing. There's an expanding middle class, and many people want their kids to learn art. And so our director, one of our directors, is an art graduate, and these are some paintings of his. So he even sells them online, too, to help make money for the ministry. But this year we're doing summer camps for middle class and then also our usual camps for orphans.
And it's always about souls.
Amen.
And the elderly people there, most of them are just maybe a few days, maybe just a few years, maybe a few months from within dying. So it's always a good time to present the gospel to them.
Amen. So we always take them gifts too, and just you know, gifts will open the door. It really is a blessing, and it's always a health gift, and you know, a towel, soap, or something like that. This is Heidi and Gua, and like I say, they've been with us since 1996. Heidi came knocking on our door and wanted to teach us, she said, Chinese, but her English was so terrible that I said to Larry, she could barely say, I teach you. What am I going to teach you? Oh, Chinese, yeah. Well, anyway, so I said to Larry, we are not going to hire that girl. She can't even speak hardly English at all. And Larry, I mean, thank God for the Holy Spirit again. Larry said to me, but I think God wants us to hire her. What can you say to that, you know? So we hired her, and you taught her through the book of John, mm-hmm. and she came to the Lord, and later led her husband. We all led him to the Lord, and praise God, they're still with us.
So off we are to Shandong.
Mm-hmm. We had built a school there 10 years ago, and they wanted to have a 10-year anniversary. And the neat thing, this lady in the middle, my goodness, her name is Miss Yan.
And Miss Yan, she worked with us when we were doing geriatric care training seminars. We did about 40 throughout China, and we were able to do them free. But this lady had came along to many of them, and we had what we called a regular seminar that was 40 hours. We did 15 different talks and with communication, and we had time to build the relationship. Started Monday. Thursday, we presented death and dying. So the people were really afraid of dying, but when we presented the gospel, it was almost 100% every time. We had anywhere from 25 people up to 240, and we also trained government leaders. And so they were just ready to... But this lady was there a lot of the time. And but she invited us over to her place for dinner. She prepared a nice meal, and it was all ready to go. It was all ready for us, and so we sat down and ate. And so I felt like I was to present the gospel to her again. So
again,
yeah. She'd probably heard it 25 times. But I just presented that, you know, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He shed his blood to wash away all your sins. And all you have to do is believe that, and you'll be in heaven. And she said, I want Jesus. I mean, that's the first time I ever had anybody clap and say, but what the point is that don't give up sharing the gospel, because sometimes they don't hear. Maybe some people need to hear 20 times. Some people need to hear 30 times. But don't give up. Don't give up praying. Don't give up sharing the gospel, because one day it's going to click.
So she said right away, oh, I hear you're going to Shandong. I want to start volunteering. So she volunteered to go with us. Praise God. Well, it was, this school has about 700 children now. Mm-hmm. It was actually built for 400, so you can imagine. What you're looking at is one class. Can you believe that? There's 80, as many as 80 and 90 kids in one class. And I think they may have invited us back to think about adding a new wing, you know, to get these classes a little bit smaller. But they never had a class picture, so that was our outreach this time, was take their picture, develop it. Guai Sheng's a computer. You know, he can do anything. He put the wording on the top that tells their class. And it was just a blessing.
So every child got a picture, of a class picture, which they'd never gotten before.
And a small health kit, and... just got to hear God loves you again. Hallelujah. Well, this is at a different school. In fact, we were just back from China, what, about 3 weeks ago or something like that, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And this school was really open to the gospel. So Larry chose some students and did the gospel story of Zacchaeus. So it was just a blessing.
And this young lady... one day she was just, her parents were government workers and worked in the government and had very high paying jobs. And one day this lady had walked by a building.
Well, honey, let me back up just a bit. Yeah, Larry's right. Her parents are government leaders. But she, remember, is an only child. 40 years ago, the only child's policy began very strongly. And so this girl is very brilliant, went to the Beida, which is the University of Beijing, and it's considered like our Yale here. And so she comes out, and she also is a government leader worker. And do you want to?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
She's a little more detailed than I am. I like to get right to the point.
So the point he was getting to is she was on a government assignment, and she walked up by this building, and she heard this like, she said it sounded like a mouse, almost like, she heard these sounds. And so she couldn't figure out what it was. And when she investigated, she found three naked babies on a cold cement floor, left there to die. And when she investigated further, it was because they all had cerebral palsy. Well, Tina had accepted the Lord 6 months before that. And she said her heart was just so touched. And she had been crying out, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And she really felt God say, you take in cerebral palsy children. Well, within the next 6 months, she already had two children with cerebral palsy in her home. And it has grown today. She's caring for 40. And we started partnering with her in the very, very beginning, doing different things to enhance her ministry. And Larry just felt this time, let's just do something really, really fun. Let's take those kids to the Beijing Aquarium and the zoo, you know, because CP kids, they have a mind. They can think. They know what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's just that it looks like they can't control or they can't respond to you. So that's what we did, and I just wanted to introduce this young man to you. It still makes me cry every time I see the picture. He has dedicated his life to CP kids too. And he is so good and so awesome with each children. They can't keep him. He is sent all over China to different orphanages to give his love and supreme care to different kids. So he's always on the move. But he certainly has a gift, and oh, it's awesome. So this is the trip to the Beijing Aquarium. The zoo is right beside it. So we also took them to see the polar bears, which is really a real treat.
And, of course, it's always hard to say goodbye. But in China, we don't say goodbye. We say sai jin, which means I will see you again. I like that better than goodbye, because goodbye seemed like it's kind of an end. But see you again, that's kind of neat, sai jin. So now you learn some Chinese words. Sai Jin, see you again.
So this outreach was about $1,000, but it was worth every penny spent. Well, another thing that happened, and like Larry alluded to a little bit earlier, was elders still have hearts, right? And most of them still have minds. And this guy was 91 years old.
Yeah. Well, when we first went to China, they said it was illegal to own a house, or kind of like a condo or a
apartment
house. And so we'd had a Chinese man that was helping us, and he said, I think you ought to buy an apartment over here, because he'd bought two. And so he convinced us, so we bought an apartment, and they give you two books. One's a red book and one's a blue book. And he said, whatever you do, you can't lose these books. I mean, don't give them to anybody. Don't do anything with them. Just make sure you hang on to them, because you can't get another one. Well, yeah. So anyway, we were in the taxi cab, and we happened to lose a red book, which was to get the blue book, you had to have the red book. So Mr. B was a lot of help. So when it come time to, because we'd lost the red book, he couldn't get the blue book. So we were gone, and so he just decided that he was going to go in and ask them to get a red book or get the blue book, because we were back in the States and wouldn't be there, but he was there on our behalf, and he'd get the blue book. So he was able to get the blue book. And, of course, when we got called to come back to Canada, we were going to sell our home. And so one man had decided that he was going to buy it, and we had a price put on it, the Lord told us, 300,000 RMB, which was about, I don't remember how much, but 30-some thousand, I think, something like that. And so we didn't have the red book, so he just cut it in half. He said, I'll just give you 15,000. And so, but I knew that God had spoke to my heart that there was a figure that we were to get. So anyway, so here, this family had heard that we wanted to sell our home. And they said, well, I said, we don't have the red book. She says, I don't care. That doesn't matter. And because she was...
That family, this gentleman, worked for the last emperor of China, and he and his family lived in the summer palace. So they still had those connections where they could get a red book. We actually went like to the county seat in Beijing. They brought out our red book, and Larry said, can we get a copy? No, absolutely not. You cannot. In China, no amount of money will buy anything. You have to have relationship too. Yeah. So this family had the relationship that said no problem, they could get anything they needed. And so they bought the house. And go ahead.
Yeah, so here they come over with a sack of money, 15,000 in not U.S. dollars, but in Chinese money. And they brought it over in a sack and said, here's half of the money. And then they came back a couple days later and said, we got to have the blue book to get the red book. So we were just ready to leave. And so my heart said, no, don't give them don't give them the blue book. Yeah, don't, whatever you do, don't do that, you know. And they just said, well, we can't get the red book and we won't be able to buy it if we don't have the blue book. So finally I just kind of tossed it over to them, you know. And then of course we were gone, so guess what happened all 2 weeks is the devil was just and now you give them the blue book, now you're not going to get your money. So, you know, 2 weeks and all this, you know. Can you relate to that? Yeah. So anyway, we come back and we thought, oh boy, here we just, because over there, if you don't have the blue book, you got no proof, you got nothing. So here they come knocking on the door and said, well, let's go to the bank. We want to give you the rest of your money. So, I mean, you know, sometimes you just have to hang in there, even though the devil haunts you and torments you, but you just got to hang in there and have that faith and keep believing that you're going to get it. So,
but you know, God. What prompted all of that is sometimes just a simple act of kindness. This man's wife had Alzheimer's, and in China, it's a lot different than here. People, most of the time, still take care of their loved one in their home. Well, she would often run away. And, I mean, she didn't mean to run away. She just walked away. And then people in the area kind of knew, oh. And so sometimes it would take 3 or 4 days for someone to figure out she belongs back over there. And so, you know, he just patiently wait for her to come back. Well, one day we came downstairs. We lived above them. And in the front of their door was this huge white flower. It looked like a big giant carnation. And that's a symbol that someone has died in that home. And so Larry, he just felt like, you know, we need to do, in China it's quite different. If someone dies, the family buys things to give to the people who are coming to visit. And, you know, there's not food prepared and things like that. But Larry thought, well, I'll just take him down Coke, and we bought a bunch of food and just all kinds of things. And he went down and just sat with them. And they never forgot it. And so when it was time to sell the house, that's what they said. You're our friend. You remembered us when we needed you. You were there. And so they were willing to buy it without the red book.
But then we were ready to go to China, and the Lord just impressed on my heart that we needed to go back and see him. And so we went back and shared the gospel with him. He accepted the Lord, 91 years old. But he said, you know, 2 years ago, I was so sick, I thought I was going to die. But he said, God spared me for this day. So when God tugs on your heart to go see somebody, or just do it, because God's faithful. Amen. But he wants to use us. We're his hands, we're his feet here on earth.
Hallelujah. Well, we don't want to keep you all day. Sorry. We'll kind of move it along a little bit more here. We also did a kind of a first this time. We had a special retreat for our Beijing church and went out into kind of a wooded area, and they rented an apartment place. And we were amazed how many people wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just wanted prayer. It was just an awesome time.
We prayed for them, and all of a sudden, the Spirit just broke out in a song. I mean, it was just so sweet, just singing in the Spirit, just praising God, and it was awesome.
And then another divine appointment, this young man, he's also an art teacher, and he decided to come to Heidi and Guo's church. We call it the Beijing church, but anyway, and we were there, and it was time for the day of salvation for his family. And these are 7 ladies. We had a women's retreat based on the book of Ruth and on the lives of Ruth and Naomi. Actually, in China, divorce and marriage problems are becoming more and more prevalent. It seems like when money increases, then so do other temptations and other problems. And so we were just blessed to be able to.
This is Lee Jung Land. We called her our tea girl. When we do work in the South, she always helps us there. She had her dad had committed suicide, and he was a teacher. But she had a dream that one day she would be able to go to Beijing and be in the university. And here she is on the mountaintop, probably with a 6th grade education, had the faith to believe that God would, or that she could go to a university. And what does God do? He sends a couple people from Iowa over there to meet her to bring her to Beijing and enroll her in an English class in the university. Now, isn't that something, how God wants to use us? But when people have faith, I tell you, God moves. He moves people. There's another lady in China that we helped. She had an elderly care home. And when she needed money, she'd just get on her knee and pray. And God woke me up several different times. And I took her over money. And she said, well, that was exactly the amount that she prayed for. So God just wants us to be obedient.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to switch gears. In 208, we began working in Africa. And today we are feeding 600 children in the schools there. We were able to build a school, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. I think it was, and then another smaller school last year.
When we say we mean we all together as the
Amen.
Body of Christ.
Amen. So this is some of the kids. And you can see what we do, we just feed them once a week on a Friday. And you can see their pans are quite large, because then they bring a pan big enough to take it home for the family for the weekend, you know. But Bishop Lewis, that we work with, said that it helps to keep the kids in school. Really, really helps, because if they can't count on that food for the weekend, then the kids are out selling things or even prostituting themselves. So it's
so some of them bring pretty good sized bowls because it feeds them for the weekend.
Amen. We also in Nigeria are partnering with our Wilgo Church there and feeding widows, and that also includes their children, which amounts to 200 kids. There's a lot of widows, there's a lot of tribal wars, there's a lot of just many, many things. Actually, the lifespan is only 54, and unfortunately, you know, usually the guys go before the ladies a lot of times, so there's a lot of widows.
There's a lot of widows because if the husband wants to divorce his wife, he just goes to another country and just leaves her. So there's a lot of that going on over there too. But the water is important. So we dug a couple wells over there.
Actually, there's actually 4 wells.
Yeah.
And, you know, people take it for granted. You know, you live here. I don't really know your total lifestyle. We live in Canada. You don't know ours. And after we sent the money for the last well in Liberia, then Bishop Lewis says, you can't imagine how it's changed our life. And we said, oh, good. And so he told us the story. He said, you know, water takes up about 70% of our life, just getting our water. First, we have a creek that is not too far away, so the kids get the water for the first couple of months of the year. But the creek every year dries up. So then the women have to go start getting the water, because they have to go to the river that's further away, about a mile. And then the river always dries up. So then it's the men's problem. Then they have to get their canoes out, put barrels in the canoe, go up the ocean, Liberia's on the ocean, till they find a running river. Then they fill their barrels and come back. Can you imagine? All that just for water. And so they said, wow, you can't imagine how we feel. It's a completely different life. Praise God.
And here we have a Bible school over there, graduated 12 people.
Mm-hmm. That's in Nigeria. And we were there for graduation last year.
And we were able to lay hands on them and encourage them and have a word for them.
Amen.
And this is blessing that we found out that she had graduated from high school and she had a desire to go to medical school. So, but she has all these health books that she's been reading, but no money to go. So it was told us that it would cost about $4,000 a year to get her into being a doctor, actually. And the Lord brought it back to our remembrance when we were desperate farming, and Jean wanted to go to nurses training because the farming well had just dried up and interest hit 18%, and we didn't have any money, but she wanted to go to nurses training to help us through all this. And one day her grandpa just went out to she was out in the bean field hoeing weeds out of the beans, and he said, I hear you want to go to nurses training. And she said, yeah, I do. But he says, well, what are you going to do for money? And she says, I don't know, we don't have any. And he said, everything's paid for, your gas, your meals, everything. And when it was all said and done, we asked him what we owed him, and he said he'd never heard the term pay it back, but that's what he said, is pay it forward.
Yeah.
So that all came back to our remembrance, and so we said we're going to help her. So 6 years of school, 6 times 4 is 24,000. That's pretty cheap to get a doctor through. Here, I don't think that gets you through one semester, hardly. So, but anyway, God's faithful, and she's going to get through.
Amen. And we also have started another project called the Women's Farming Cooperative, and we're in the planning and setting up stages. We really, really have a desire to help people stand on their own 2 feet. So we're writing the business plan and clearing the land. We were able to buy a couple of plots of land, and we'll give you an update in years to come. Hallelujah. But June 1st was a devastation in Liberia. This is some of the families. 150 of them are now camped out in our school and in the church because they had what they called it a small tsunami. Came in, wiped out their homes, and it came into the church, came into the school, and they cleaned it out, and people were, that's where they're living now.
That went off. The juice went out.
So we have been able to raise some funds and send to them. They really need rice, mattresses, and clothing immediately. I mean, it's really, really something.
And pray for Bishop Lewis. With all of this, his wife had a stroke. And I think with all of this, people, the 150 homes being destroyed, the church was full of people, their home was full of people, and they just were desperately trying to help people. But with that, she had another stroke and passed away last Thursday. So pray for Bishop Lewis's wife, or for him to get through it all.
Amen. Well, we can just go on.
Yeah.
We'll tell you a little bit about Canada. You know, we're living in China. We do not want to go someplace else. But if God says you should go, we have to live up to our name and go. So we went to Vancouver, Canada, almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was 10 years ago in March. We cannot hardly believe it ourselves. And part of the reason we went to Eastern Canada just recently is because of Detroit. And have any of you heard of the problems in Detroit? Or the city is in bankruptcy right now. It looks like a war zone. What was 3 million people 30 years ago now is only 700,000. So you have all of those homes that are empty, vandalized. And but Larry's just, oh my gosh, you're a miracle worker, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. And so Larry was just helping me do dishes one day, and he just said, I really feel like God wants us to do something in the States. I mean, we do something in almost every other continent. Why not help our own if there's need? And then every time we picked up a paper or turned on the TV, it was all Detroit. So this, you're looking at GM. It looks like the three crosses. And once was a very powerful city, but now this is what you see. And mile after mile, it's 17 miles across Detroit.
There's probably 6 homes like that compared to one good one. Mm-hmm. throughout Detroit.
They just went out of town.
People went out
jobs.
Of town, so other people started vandalizing. A lot of them didn't have any place to live because they didn't have a job, so they would go in these homes and probably set a fire to keep warm in the winter, and then the whole house would catch on fire. And but what really set it off was the civil rights movement back in
late 60s
and early 70s. And so people rioted and set fires to the homes and different things. And so that's there. And then with the people leaving from being laid off at the auto plant, kind of caused this problem. But we hooked up with a Welcome Baptist Church over there, and
one of those B churches.
They're really not Baptist.
Oh, they are just right, I tell you.
They have ladies in there that are praying in tongues, and so God's doing a work through there.
Amen. We partnered with them to help hand out food, and then our ministry buys paper products. You know, the food banks give out food, but they never
never give out toilet paper or other paper products you need. And so that's what we decided to help out with that. And anytime we're given something, we pass it on in clothing and blankets. And we are still amazed how many people in Detroit do not have heat in the winter.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Detroit is not far from Chicago. I mean, that's the line. And so they are so thankful for blankets. That was really an eye-opener for us. We're also partnering with Peacemakers on Cheney Street. And actually, that was just a month ago, wasn't it? And we'll go provided all the food and everything we needed for this outreach of about 300 people. And, well, it wasn't that many people. Anyway, no. I can't remember how
there
many.
There was quite a few.
This lady came up and was delivered of smoking. So we're really, it was a really a thrilling time. And Larry told his out behind the barn stories, and these ladies said that they really were set free with his testimonies too. And then, you know, this church that you saw, it looks really good, but it was stripped. By stripped, I mean all the metal was taken out of the church, so there's no air conditioning. And even in the toilets, you know, there's maybe one working toilet because all the metal things were taken out. And so there's no air conditioning. And so when we were in China, they knew that actually they took up an offering for us to go to China. And so they said, don't they have nice Chinese fans over there? Why don't you bring us back a fan? So we brought back fans for all the ladies in the church, and they were really thrilled with that. So we know the answer always is Jesus.
This is Lisa and Cam, our directors. And, you know, God hooks you up with people by divine appointments. And of course, our ministry is really growing, so we need more financial help. And so she was a banker over in Hong Kong, and she invited us to go over there with her. And she invited five of her friends, and we just had a little dinner and sitting around the table and shared probably for 10, 15 minutes on our ministry. And the one lady wrote out a check for $10,000. She didn't even ask her husband. Now, you know, God's got money. God's got all kinds of money. So, I mean, but you just never know where it's going to come from. Just like this one guy from the tribe came and brought $500. Well, it all adds up.
It does. Hallelujah. Well, we still love working with First Nation people. I believe you say American Indian, is that right?
Oh,
Native Americans. Okay. And we just want to do what we can just to show God's love to the people. This is one of those button-making machines. And if you see our table back there, you'll see some of those buttons. You know, Hero Guitar is always a good, but we're there to just pray with the kids, love on them. And also this time in Bella Coola, our team just came back. They were there for 10 days, but we're continuing with our bicycle ministry. They took 6 bicycles to Bella Coola. But this is not actually that picture. This is, we work with Muslims inside Vancouver too, and this is an outreach to that area.
And of course, there's all kinds of street people there. There's people that come from America to go to Vancouver to live on the street.
If you have to be homeless, I mean, let's face it, that's the place to be. You're not going to freeze to death, for sure. So
we give clothing out and give out tracks and
meals.
Winter, and also they like soup, and of course they hold a sign that says everybody's welcome for cookies and sandwiches.
And you know, we are so, again, we want to say thank you to you guys. We couldn't do it without volunteers everywhere. And in Vancouver, we have a huge team of people, and we do a volunteer party once a year, so that's what you're looking at there. But praise God. And our fellowship is active. We were able to baptize some people, and just God is good. But we just thank Him for His love and mercy to each one of us. And again, we just thank you.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for sending us on our way, and we're all a part of it. Praise God. We all, when it comes to Jesus, we're all going to get our rewards. And you know something? There's only one person that's worthy, and that's Jesus. And what reward we get, I want to cast it at His feet and say, thank you, Jesus. But God bless. And thank you for, again, for your support.